In the final presentation for Chapter 4 on mutual funds, we discussed the different fund families and saw that there are thousands of funds, and the choices are just innumerable, too many. So what we did is concentrate on a single mutual fund, one that's been around for a very long time. And not that I'm saying you should go out and buy this fund. That's not my intention. My intention is to show you how well some of these have done over the long term. And this is one of the nation's longest serving mutual funds. So it's done well over 80 years. It's actually 81 to be precise. And all mutual fund companies, mostly all, unless they really don't want to get in trouble with the SEC because they don't have any registered representatives that can help you, will give you what are called hypothetical illustrations. So here's a hypothetical illustration for Business 123, Spring 2015. So let's go through this. And what we're going to do is we're going to see how well these people have done over 81 years. So here, notice that on these illustrations must be disclaimers and warnings that these investments are not FDIC insured, nor are they deposits or guaranteed by a bank or any other entity, so they may lose value. And does anybody actually read these things? No. No, they don't. And it gets to the point where they write it in such a way as that people won't read it. Because it sounds or reads like Gregorian chant or law or whatever. That's why I was chanting it. Because that's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of mystical sayings that nobody understands. Figures shown are past results and not predictive of future results in future periods. Current and future results may be lower or higher than those shown. Share prices and returns will vary, so investors may lose money. Yeah, exactly. So do you read all that? It's really good for you if you have insomnia at night. You can read that and it will all put you to sleep. But anyway, these are the disclaimers. So let's finally get to the numbers. And the industry uses $10,000. I don't know why. That's what they've chosen. And notice that this company's been around since 1934. There are a few that are even older than this mutual fund. So, yeah, I think 1924 was the first one, 26. Yeah, so they've been around a long time. And so here we go, more scary stuff to try to make you go to sleep at night. Here we finally get to the investment. And the investment is a $10,000 investment. Now remember, if you remember back in the second presentation, we talked about the sales charge. And at this time, there were no mutual funds that were no load. They were all front-end load funds. Actually, the load was even a little higher. But now it's 5.75. So you invested $10,000 and this was, you know, right at, they picked a good time. It was right at the Great Depression, 1934. Not a good time for people, but a great time to be investing. And you notice that it did fairly well. 1937, there was another severe recession and look, it fell quite a bit from 31,000 to 19,000. But then we had some stagnant periods during World War II. It was basically bouncing around. And then the 1950s, the stock market really started to respond. It just started to do very, very well. It took 25 years for people to get acclimated to the stock market again after, you know, the 1920s crash where it lost 89%. And we see that throughout the 50s and 60s, our investment is doing very well. You know, it bounces around a little bit here, 413 down to 358, but back to 440, 500, 600, 700,000, 800,000. And yippee, we're all going to be rich, rich, rich. And the peak is 1972. Now, many of you weren't alive in 1972, but that was another peak in the stock market. Valuations on some of the companies, the so-called Nifty 50, these were companies that you would not guarantee, would not lose. They're surefire going to make you rich. Most of which are gone. You might have heard of Polaroid and Xerox. Well, no, Xerox isn't gone, but it's never recovered from that peak it hit. CalComp and Tektronix, a lot of science and technology companies that are gone. Who else? Metro Media. That's gone. And look at what happened. Between 72 and 74, we had the worst, at that time, bear market since the Great Depression, and your $1.2 million became $840,000. Yeah. This is what investing in the stock market is like, folks. But did you run? Did you hide? Did you sell at the bottom and say, well, at least I got $800,000? No, you hung on, and look, within 2 years, you had surpassed your peak of 72. And then the late 70s, we had disco, that was a problem, and the gas crises. And then the 1980s come along. The 1980s, globalization, new technologies, and sure enough, the market just responded. Now, one thing I want to show you, you don't see this in these numbers. As the market was climbing in 1998, there was a time when it melted up. 1986 to 1987, it did well. And what happened? Well, in 1987, this is the end of 1986, 6.6 million. In 1987, the stock market went 40% up between January and August. And people thought, yippee, you know, here we go again. There, this is a new era. It's a new beginning. The old ways of valuing stocks are wrong. And between August and October, it lost, you know, 30-40%. In fact, it lost 23% in one day, October 19th, 1987. And people thought it was the end of the world. So do you see that in these two numbers between 6.6 and 7? No. You went from 6.6 million up to 9.5 million, then down to 6 million or so, and then by the end of the year, you actually had gained a little bit. Volatility is real, dear students. Volatility is real. But as long as you didn't run and hide, look, within 3 years, you're up to over 10 million. Not even 3 years, right? Look at that. By 1989, it's up to 10 million. And then the 90s, this market went in two directions, up and way up, to the point where people again thought, it's a new era. It's different this time. The old ways of valuing stock are gone until 2000. And even though 2000 was a down year, this mutual fund was able to post a gain. Not much, but they still missed I think the S&P was down 9% in 2000, but they went up. But then in 2001, it went down about 15, and in 2002, it went down 22. So they participated in the downturn, and sure enough, your 47 million became 38, 39 million. But did you hold on? I remember vividly in October 2002 thinking this is not the time to sell, this is the time to buy, and I put a little bit more than I normally put in, but normally I just put in money every month via my paycheck and my checking account. And sure enough, it came back in 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, new era, the old, well actually this, the downturn in 2008, The financial turmoil was not caused by the stock market. Don't anybody tell you differently. It was caused by the bond market, and specifically the bonds that were linked to real estate mortgages. It was the housing bubble and those bonds that all went pfft because people stopped paying their mortgages when the prices of housing started to fall and people had bought houses they had no ability to make the payments after 2 or 3 years in those optional adjustable rate mortgages, which we discuss in Business 121. All became due. Your $1,600 payment became $2,000 next year, and then $2,600 the third year, and then the third year, and the fourth year they became $3,300, and these people just thought they were going to be able to sell their house for twice as much. Right? Yeah, well, you remember, right? It wasn't that long ago. And sure enough, your value of your real stock holdings, your mutual fund, was $70 million. And then at the end of 2008, it was 46. This is going to happen to you, dear students. It is going to happen to you once, maybe twice in your investing career, especially if you're younger, and you should be emotionally prepared for it. Because there are two, as we said before, there are two parts of investing. There's an intellectual part, and there's an emotional part. And if it were only intellectual, all you have to do is see the long-term results of stocks, and you say, well, sure, stocks are the best long-term financial investment. And, you know, we're dancing around real estate because real estate is a world unto itself, and it's not a good comparison. But, when you go from $70 million to $46 million in 1 year, the emotional kick in the stomach is too much for some people to bear. But did you run? Did you hide? No, you stuck through it. And sure enough, it took 5 years. But by 2012. Yeah, by the end of 2012, you were back up to where you were in 2007. So yeah, it took 5 years from 2007. And since then, 2013 was a very good year, and 2014 was pretty darn good, and how can a $10,000 become a $109 million? Well, it's actually very simple, folks. Compound interest at 12.17%. Now, what did we say about stock returns? We tell people that we should expect over the long term 8, 9, 10%. But we know that some people have gotten more than 10%, 11 and 12. And if you take a good look at chapter 12 presentation, the last few slides, you'll see that there's one by T. Rowe Price that's been around for over 50 years that's done 13%. Exactly. So it can be done. Is it a guarantee? No. Is it a guarantee that this mutual fund will continue to do 12%? I don't think so. I just think it's too much to ask people to be able to produce 12% over decades. I'm happy with 8-9. I am happy with 8-9. If these people were to just slow down to 8 or 9, I'd still think sing their praises and say congratulations, thank you very much. Because one of the things we don't see is the risk. Well, we saw it bounce up and down. We saw the volatility. But we don't see the risk measurement. And we discussed that, the standard deviation, in Chapter 1 a little bit. We'll discuss it later on when we get on the other side of stocks and bonds. We'll come back to it. And we'll see that this mutual fund is one of the ones that has average to low risk factor, which is an imperfect measurement, the standard deviation. Now, they also include a graph. And the graph is not really meaningful for the first 60 or so years. And why is that? Because of exponential growth. And if you understand exponential growth, you'll know that this is how it goes. It starts off very slow, and then all of a sudden, whoopee, skyrockets. And so we don't see the volatility in the first 60 or so years because the scale is too low. But when we go and take a look at the last 20 years, oh boy, do we see the volatility. Whoa, and down and up and down and back up again. And that's an exponential curve, dear students. Make sense? You understand? If not, don't worry or contact me if your math is a little sketchy and you don't understand exponential growth. Starts off slow, then all of a sudden skyrockets. But as we see, there are bumps along the way. And you have to be prepared for them. And I think I've made this comment. I'm not sure. I'll make it again. Someone, I can't remember who, compared the stock market to walking upstairs. But as you're walking up the steps, you're playing with a yo-yo. The yo-yo's going up and down, but still, you're still going up. And it makes a lot of sense. I don't know if it helps it or not. Because as the global economy expands, as more and more people come out of poverty and are able to enjoy the fruits that we have taken for granted for over 100 years, fresh water, clean water, food, healthy food, shelter, clothing, and of course internet access, and bicycles and cars and cell phones and stereos and televisions and computers and all the things that we take for granted. The economy will continue to expand. The companies that are producing these goods and services will prosper. Some will fail. Some will come along and take their place. And we as investors should do well. You know what I'm going to say, but there are no guarantees. I hope this has been illuminating, dear students. Now, what I want you to do is then now, if you haven't done so already, is go take a look at the other hypothetical illustrations. Because do you have an 80-year time frame? Well, some of you millennials probably yes, because you're going to be living to 120, 130, 140. Supposedly the first person who's going to live to 150 has already been born. I don't know. We'll see. But you have a more of a 30, 40 year time frame, right? So there are illustrations for 30 and 40 years. And for you boomers, there's one for 20 years. So please take a look at those. See ya!